Good, 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 good. And that's it for the show. Be good. Be good, be good. Johnny, be good. So, what are we? Just after 11 a.m., 17th November 2024, and it is time for our Sunday morning philosophy. Chitty, chatty, bing, bang. Bongo, bongo, fill your boots. Okay, fatang, fatang, ole, biscuit barrel. And away we go with the scat of the gods. So, questions, comments, issues, challenges, problems, more than welcome and gratefully accepted. And we have a question to start. Steph, in your book, The Present, there is a scene where Rachel is honest with the policeman and as a result, he lets her leave the city. I find this scene confusing. The policeman is a government employee who is there to keep people from leaving the city so that they will die waiting for help from the government. Spoiler! In that case, why would Rachel, explaining that she would die if she doesn't leave, convince him to let her go? Is the policeman so naive that he doesn't understand his role? To me, it feels like explaining to a Nazi guard that you cannot get on the train because you would die in the camp. Am I missing something? Or perhaps I am too cynical. Thanks. Right. Well, in my experience, if you are honest, open, and vulnerable with people in authority, they tend to less misuse their positions of authority. Look, there are people who join, let's just say, some totalitarian, because it's pretty totalitarian towards the end in my novel, The Future. So there are people who join the police force in a system that is sliding towards totalitarianism, right? There are people who join the police force because they want to do the right thing and maintain order in society and catch the bad guys. And those people tend to have doubts and misgivings as they're going forward, right? So I gave the policeman, nothing's accidental, right? I made him kind of like a ginger in a way, like as white as can be. And that's because that's more associated with Ireland. Ireland, at least in the past, and is even now to a large degree, somewhat skeptical of the value of authority because they were conquered and invaded, particularly by the British, so many times. So there are, you have to be dehumanized in order to be brutalized. So she humanizes herself to him, and he begins to have that thing where it's like, am I the bad guy? Could I be the bad guy? He also realizes that he might be serving some malevolent entity, and therefore maybe he should leave. Plus, he also wants to leave himself because his own family is in the north, right? So, you're not helpless when it comes to authority. In my life, just as a whole, when I have been honest, open, vulnerable, and of, you know, according to the respect that you have when people who have uniforms and guns have power over you, I have, although I've had potentially extremely negative interactions with people in authority, I have just found that when I'm open and honest, I've never walked out of going into a bad situation with somebody in authority. I've never walked out worse off. Just be honest and direct, and humanize yourself, right? And it's not a guarantee, right? And of course, this is not like what I'm writing about in the future is not, you know, Nazi Germany. It's not fascist Italy with the ex-Marxist Mussolini in charge. It is not National Socialism in Germany. It's not Bolshevism in Russia. It's not Pol Pot in Cambodia. It's not North Korea. It's not China under Mao, particularly after the Thousand Flowers Bloom of the 60s. It's not that, right? It's not that. So don't assume that you are helpless in the face of authority once authority has been completely compromised, right? So it's one thing to join a police force that slides into totalitarianism. It's another thing that once the police force is already totalitarian, then you join. Does that make sense? Like, it's one thing to join a club and then find out that they're criminals. It's another thing to join a club when you already know that they're criminals. It's two really completely different types of personalities. Somebody says, can confirm, just got exempt from a $500 fine by speaking honestly to a government clerk. Some are psychos, but many are just people. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I won't get into the stories, but I've had my run-ins. And I got my entire career started, and I've mentioned this on the show before, I'll keep it brief, my entire sort of professional career, like I was doing temp work, and I worked with spreadsheets and word processors and all this kind of stuff. I worked with all of this stuff, and I remember just getting tired of that, wanting something as a programmer. And I ran out of money. Have you ever had this situation where you're just out of money? Because normally, you know, there's some place you can bounce, some place you can land, someone you can borrow from. But in the early 90s, there was just a brutal recession. And then, gosh, how old was I? Oh, boy. Let's see here. Yeah, so in the mid to late 90s, there was another recession. You know, they just come along. You know, one of the things that I'm completely thrilled about with regards to Bitcoin is the opportunity that our children might not have to be constantly kicked in the fucking gonads by bullshit financial manipulations. I fucking hate that. Like, just about more than anything on this planet, I hate the fact that you can't make any fucking plans because they keep fucking around with the monetary system. They keep printing more. They yank all of the capital out of sight of the entrepreneurs by using it to hose down people dependent on the government with free shit. I hate the fact that they fuck around with interest rates. I hate the fact that it's just constant manipulation and the rules change and you can't plan. And it's just, it's like trying to play basketball when they keep dialing up and down the fucking gravity. It's just an impossible, and the amount of energy and time and concentration that just gets completely fucking wasted because they keep fucking around with the monetary system. This is one of the reasons why when Bitcoin came along, I was like, okay, this has got some potential because a decentralized store of value is something that can't be fucked around with. And I fucking hate that they, sorry for all the swearing, I fucking hate that they fuck around with the monetary system all the time. And so, yeah, in the late 90s, I was out of money and I was living in a place that was $270 a month because I lived in one room in a house with five other people. And I was just out of money. And I had tapped out my friends and nobody else could lend me money. And I had a woman who was helping, trying to find work, but there was no work out there. And I just called her up, and I still remember her name. And I was just like, you know, I'm desperate. I'm totally desperate here. Like, I'm running out of money. I might end up on the street. And I just want to work with computers. That's all I want. Please, I'll clean computers. I'll move computers. I'll dust under computers. I just want to be around computers. I'm desperate for work. Please, please, please. Is there anything that you can do? And a naked appeal is very powerful. I don't know if you've ever been on the receiving end of a naked appeal, but it's very powerful. And she got me an interview, and I got a job, and I started my career as a COBOL programmer, and then I started my own company, and it all was all from there. So, you know what they do to fiat currency is what they do to the language, is that they constantly redefine stuff. So you can't keep up with the current definitions, and therefore you're paralyzed. So it's like words are getting redefined in real time in the middle of a debate. You can't do anything. You can't win. You can't manage anything. You can't predict anything. And I just, the fact that they fuck around so much with the money is really the worst and greatest and deepest evil that is around. The capacity to fuck around with money and interest rates is so fundamentally evil that it is the soil from which most other evils grow. Yeah, I would not assume that people in authority are just automatically, you know, terrible people who have no compassion and so on, right? I mean, a lot of them believe the propaganda and they go into what they're doing for genuine reasons of wanting to make the world a better place and wanting to make things better. Except maybe in the UK now, they're arresting people at 4 a.m. for year-old social media posts. Somebody says arbitrary, quote, exceptions for select individuals in Bitcoin will implement universal standards. Yeah. Exceptions in the financial system, arbitrary decision-making, counterfeiting, bailouts, two-tier justice, too big to jail, regulations to prevent corruption. Yeah, I mean, it's something I talked about years ago. And you can just say this when anybody proposes there ought to be a law, right? There ought to be a law. There ought to be a law. And when people say there ought to be a law, then say, okay, who's the person or group or ideology that you're the most terrified of, right? Let's say it's Nazis, right? Okay, so when you propose a law, if you're like the most terrible people, Nazis, right? Or communists, or whatever, right? The most terrible people. So when you propose a law, you have to understand that the most terrible people will end up in charge of that law. Like the people who are the most terrible for you will most likely end up in charge of that law. You are handing power to your most dangerous enemies when you propose, in general, laws. Now, I'm not talking about the basic UPB laws, right? Rape, theft, assault, and murder bans there too. But if you want to tax the rich, I want you to imagine the most evil rich people being in charge of the tax code, because kind of that's the way that it rolls. Whatever you want. Whatever you want to do that involves the initiation of the use of force will attract the worst people that you can imagine to be in charge of it. Well, you know, we got to have the government educate the children. Okay, I want you to imagine the most hideous ideology you can think of, and that gaining control over the minds, life, hearts, health, and souls of hundreds of millions of children in your society. Because that's how it's going to go. That's how it always goes. That's how it always goes. I want the government in charge of healthcare. Next up, Wuhan. Come on, man. Somebody said, I had a great job in oil and gas, and then Biden shut things down. Now they open things back up again. Politicians just messing with the economy all the time. Yeah, I mean, I loved my gig in many ways. I mean, it was a tough gig, don't get me wrong. But working up north was great because you got room and board paid for because it was elk meat in a tent. So you got room and board paid for. You didn't have to spend, they just deposited your money in your bank account in Toronto, and then they just paid for everything when you worked up north. So there was really no better way to save money. And I liked working in the outdoors. I liked working with my muscles. I liked the struggle sometimes. Occasionally it was, you know, when you, sometimes we'd stay in the tent, it was hailing really badly, but one time the boss from Toronto came up and he's like, come on guys, let's go. Come on, let's go. And we went out there and fucking thudding hail like golf balls into my brain. And it was just like, that was an ugly day, man. That you could not embrace that suck, Kamala Harris style. You just could not embrace that suck. And so, yeah, it was rough. It was rough. But for the most part, it was a great job. So what happened was I had that job for a year and a half after high school. And then I had it for another summer and then nothing. Because the tax rules had changed. You could no longer deduct exploration from your tax. So the whole all the stuff I trained for, all the stuff that I'd become good at, all the stuff that made me a lot of money, gone. The fucking rules changed. Just the rules changed. Thank you, Ed. Just the rules changed. Fuck you. We're changing the rules. Oh, no, capital gains is up. No, capital gains is gone. No, we're going to tax this. No, we're not going to tax that. No, the interest rates are up. No, they're down. No, we're going to do this. We're going to block the housing supply increase. Now we're going to take money to build houses. We're not really going to build houses. Fuck you. We're dialing physics, not just gravity. It's like the rules of physics. Try to play baseball. We're going to dial up air resistance. We're going to dial up gravity. We're going to dial down momentum. We're going to dial up inertia. Good fucking luck playing baseball. We live in the exploitive, predatory dreams of schizophrenic physics dialers. You know, this is why people think, is this real life? Is this just fantasy? This is why people think, do we live in a waking dream? I don't know the difference between dreams and reality, because in dreams, there are no consistent physics. And in a state of society, there are no consistent rules. We live in the dreams of megalomaniacal madmen and madwomen. Everything that we need to predict our future is dialed up and dialed down. Only 10% of people used to go to university, so university usually meant you're in the top 10% of intelligence. Now, half of people go to university in some places, and university is now just a test of conformance and compliance and who's going to sue you for something when they get a job with your company. So you have a degree, and the degree is eroded as worthless by the lowering of standards down in the future. Like in your future, they erode even the value of your degree by lowering standards in the present. So your degree walks away, those standards are still by how it's judged. You can't say, oh, but when I went, it was much more rigorous. Nobody cares. Nobody want to save your money? Fuck you. Over the last, what, half decade, 7 years, 20-25% of the value of your money is gone. Gone. Want to save your grain? Release the rats. Want to save your water? I'm going to piss in it. Want to save anything? Too bad. Too bad. Want to work hard? Too bad. And now, of course, there's this self-censorship, right? They've made the stakes of wrongthink so high that everybody watches everything they say. The secret police is now the unconscious of blowback for accidental honesty. Oh, shit, I said something true. Oh, I said something that up until 5.217 years ago was accepted by everyone as self-evident. Now, if I say it, I'm fucked. Fired, lost, broken, destroyed. Right. So somebody says, whenever I use the argument that evil people can get in charge and misuse the law, people always say, well, we have to make sure to keep the bad people out, and then continue, that's why we have to censor Nazis, right? Because the Nazis censors. So we have to use Nazi tactics to make sure that we don't end up. We have to put Nazis in charge to make sure that we don't end up with Nazis. So you can't, and it's constantly destroying human capital, right? Rules changes are constantly destroying human capital. So I learned a lot about how to look for gold up north. I learned a lot about how to look for gold up north. And those almost 2 years worth of knowledge and experience was completely destroyed by some bullshit government rule change. So then I had to go work in restaurants, and then I had to, right? So you're constantly accumulating, this guy in the oil and gas, you're constantly accumulating skills and knowledge, which make you more efficient, and then they change the fucking rules, and you can't use that anymore. I mean, think of how much work accountants put into learning the tax code, and now they're good at the tax code, and then the tax code changes, and they all have to go and spend endless weekends learning about the new tax code. Whereas their old knowledge, right? Like they just upped the capital gains tax in Canada, which means all of the financial advisors, all of the accountants, all of that, they all had to change their strategies, learn new strategies, deal with, like, because before they had developed strategies for a lower capital gains tax, the capital gains tax goes up, so you got to change all your strategies. All your old knowledge is fucked, and you got to spend an endless amount of time. Somebody says, I'm guessing the constant changing of rules is to prevent anyone from gaining enough money / power to challenge the corrupt system. Well, the people who were in charge of the physics of your mind are the social rules, the economic rules, the tax rules, the legal rules. That's the physics of your mind. That's what we genuinely have to navigate. So the real predators are the initiation of the use of force for disobedience, right? Those are the wolves in the city at the moment, right? We don't have the wolves and the bears in the city, but the physics of the mind, the constantly getting changed, that's what we have to navigate, right? That's what we have to navigate. It's sort of like you develop a fighting style in boxing based on the fact that you can't bite. Oh, thank you so much.
Welcome.
Izzy has brought me
food.
I'm going to recreate that meme, Izzy. I'm going to tip it. I'm going to tip it to show the audience, and it's going to slide all over my keyboard. Oh my gosh.
Let's talk for a moment about how the blueberries are like the size of my palm. Like, what the heck?
Did you get those from the bowling alley?
No, I...
Bulberries. Wait, come closer if you're going to talk, but not in camera. You can come to here.
Not to
there. Right.
Okay. They're basically just pumpkin puree pancakes. I put some honey on them because you're like off sugar or something. I don't even know.
Yeah, I'll do some honey. Yeah, I'll do some honey.
And then blueberries because like not.
Now,
I've
do you know
these before? I didn't even use the recipe. I'm not going to lie. Just kind of eyeballed it. I don't even really know how pancakes are made. I just whipped up some egg whites and then some flour, pumpkin puree, milk, a little bit of honey for sweetness, and then the egg yolk. And
looks
then I
great.
Folded it in so it's fluffy.
Now, one of the things that was the most touching for me recently in terms of food that you provided, it's really quite beautiful. Hang on, let me just get a little. I'm glad you brought a napkin. It's quite moving for me.
Okay.
So one of the things that was most beautiful is that Mom and I went to the dentist recently.
Oh, yeah.
And you were very kind and thoughtful of the food that you gave me after the dentist.
I didn't have an appointment, so I went to a Tim Hortons and was just doing some schoolwork. I had to get my math done. Mm. They were there for like 2 hours. It was ridiculous. Anyways, I'm done in an hour and a half, and I thought I'll walk around the intersection. And it's not like a mall. It's like a strip mall around a parking lot. And I see a little convenience store, and I think it's not like I just had a coffee or anything. So I go in because I thought, you know, maybe for later I could get a drink or something, right?
Yeah.
My paycheck came in, like, you know, I can spend money now.
Ka-ching!
Yeah, right? Anyways, I don't get a drink, but I do see peanut brittle, and I think this would be the funniest thing ever. So I buy peanut brittle, and you guys come, and I'm like, oh, I got a snack for you.
Yes, your teeth are now clean. Let's weld them together with glue and peanuts.
Because you always talk about peanut brittle and how it's like...
It's tooth glue.
Yeah.
In fact, they're still working on some peanut brittle I had when I was 8. They still occasionally just work on it in the back. It's
yeah,
just
like the...
That's wild. That's funny.
Anyway,
I don't know how to eat this. And you also, the nicest thing is that you wouldn't believe how much my listeners enjoy listening to me eat.
Yeah, I'm eating a blueberry.
I should try a toss. Should I try a toss?
You can throw it at you.
No, I think. Should I try a toss? Oh, my God.
It's because I said I put honey on it.
Ah! Okay.
Maybe try this one. It doesn't have any.
All right. Now, is this too high stakes for me?
Really?
Because this is really going to come down to...
Guys, if he does it, you have to donate.
Ah!
Crap.
Okay, hang on. Give me another one. That one's kind of dry, right? I feel I got it. Whoa, I don't got it. Hang on. Oh, yeah, baby! This is the kind of quality content that people come for.
Oh, it's like underneath.
Oh, I'm sure we imported some New York rats to keep the basement clean, so I'm sure that'll be fine. Somebody says, being trawled through kindness, that's the best.
Spider back here.
What?
It's like one of those spindly ones with the light. Oh, I got it.
The spider?
No, the blueberry. Oh. It's just underneath the spider.
You know what? The blueberry, like the spider is down here. Like, I'm sure food is coming sooner or later. And then a giant blueberry rolls into the environment.
Risk my life for this thing. It all's got hair on it. I'm going to put it in your coffee.
Ah. That's nice. Do you want to try a throw? I'll just tell people whether you got it or not. Not with the wand up from the floor.
I'm putting it not in, on the plate. I'm putting it.
Oh, God. It's mixed in.
It's not. Okay. Throw.
All right. Here we go. Oh, my God.
That went horrible.
Oh, right there.
I'm not eating it off this stinky floor.
All right. One more. You know what? I'm going to try a throw with a pancake.
So okay. That I don't feel like.
Not too high. Right. Oh, magnificent.
Oh, my God.
Magnificent. Magnificent. All right.
Can I try a bite of the pancake?
Yeah, go for it. Is there anything you wanted to say to the audience? How are they?
They aren't even bad.
They're not bad?
They're nice. Not bad. Try it.
You should try some, we should put some almond peanut butter on it.
Oh, no. Actually, that might not be bad.
Oh, my God. I'd punish you with a hug if we weren't on camera.
Just like.
There we go. Thank you.
Anyways.
Looks like philosophy doesn't grant hand-eye coordination. Oh, yeah? Turn on your webcam. Let's see you do it with a low ceiling. If it's high, it's okay. Because if it's high, you've got time to track it.
But the
ceiling is like...
That guy talks like an expert. I think he could. Should I try one more?
A throw?
Throw.
Go. Oh, nice. Okay, bye. Thank you. That's great. Thank you. All right. Talk amongst yourselves. Having a teenager is like having permanent trawling stand-up in your life. It is Absolutely hilarious. Well, you heard, of course, her. I mean, if you're donors, I did a show with Izzy where she imitated me for about 5 minutes, and I ended up on the floor. It was so funny. You know, having a teenager. Oh wait, what's going on with my face? I have something on my face? No. So yeah, having a teenager is a very humbling experience because they know all of your foibles and picadillos and quirks and all of that. It is pretty funny. So, all right. Let's get back to, yeah, so if you learn a particular fighting style based on boxing or whatever, right? And what are the boxing rules? Like you have to wear gloves, you can't hit below the belt, you can't kick. All right, so you learn a particular boxing style, and let's just say they change the rules completely. Then all the new people coming in know all of these new rules. You have to try and adjust your fighting style to their rules. What was it like? Andrew Tate just, was it yesterday, challenged Jake Paul to a fight? Call him out, man. What the fuck is wrong with everyone? Well, we could take on the powers that be and all of their injustice and immorality, or we can put knuckle sandwiches into people's eyeballs and call ourselves rebels. I'm calling you out, man. We could kick your ass. It's, I mean, I don't know. Are we just too retarded to continue as a species in any fundamentally productive way? It's hard to know. It's hard to know. But yeah, I really am. I'm quite sorrowful about all of the skills that I've learned over the years. Now, some of those are just going to fall away, right? I get that, right? Some of those are just going to fall away based upon moving forward in the world, right? I mean, things are going to progress, new computer languages, new approaches. I went from VBA to VB to .NET to, like, I went all of these things, right? I get all of that. Somebody says, Joe, hello, Joe. The constant rule changes also takes away incentives to learn more. I remember I was going to read a book to learn more about oil and gas, but decided not to read it since Biden might get it. Get in, right? That book is now sitting in my garage. Yeah, for sure. I mean, we could have interplanetary colonies if it wasn't for all these rule changes, right? I mean, there's no way you'd build a spaceship to go to Mars if gravity kept changing based on the whim of bureaucrats. You couldn't possibly do it. So the amount of paralysis that's happening, this is why people don't want to have kids. People don't want to have kids because they have no fucking idea what the rules are going to be 5 seconds from now. They have no idea. Also, I mean, it takes a long time to kill the birth rate, and nobody knows how to return it. Like, nobody knows how to return it. Even Viktor Orban was it Hungary, has been trying to reverse it. Well, a woman has 4 kids, she never has to pay income tax again. They're trying to reverse it. Nobody knows how to reverse it. Because the problem is, you know, let me ask you this. If you don't have kids, why not? If you don't have kids, why not? I'll give you a moment. That is good, man. I'll give you a moment to answer that. Teenage daughters will feed your body and starve your vanity. So, I'm reading a novel to my family. This novel has an outrageous Italian character. So I put on the Italian accent, you know, like some cliched Mario character. And when my daughter imitates the Italian accent, it is so funny. It is really, really hilarious. It's a very, very great blessing to see a mind reach such amazing manifestation, particularly with humor. Very funny. Difficulties finding a partner, for sure. Yeah, that had a lot to do with it, for sure. For sure. The women that I knew in university, they wanted to, I remember one of them ended up going, she became a bartender in Europe. She got some horrible disease, and it was just horrible. It was just horrible. Another one wanted to go, hey, it would be really cool. I want to go busk in the back streets and the farm streets and the little villages of Ireland. I want to spend a summer busking in Ireland. It's just like, the fuck? A completely useless waste of life. Travel was a big one. Travel was a big one. Because travel is sexy, right? Travel is sexy for women. What is often sexiest for women is feeling high status. and feeling desired. Feeling desired. Men don't really know what it means to feel desired because very few women, I mean, unless you're at the very, very top, right? Very few women are just lusting after us. At least in the white community, I think it's a little different in other communities, but so travel and the sexiness of foreign travel and men lusting for you in foreign places, and it's very sexy for women and all of that. So yeah, there was a big travel thing. There was I want to go on to higher education thing, which means being broke into your 30s and all of that, right? So I really love how you don't take yourself too seriously, Steph. So many people take themselves so seriously, and it's so tiring. Yeah, I take morals very seriously. The rest of life is mostly comedy. Too expensive, women extremely leftist, and being raised by a toxic mother. I don't know how to appreciate a good girl when I had her. I didn't know how to appreciate a good girl when I had her. Waiting until I retire so I could be home with them. My wife has health issues that make infant care unsafe for her alone. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I don't feel as if I'm ready there. I believe I will be within 2 years, probably 1 year. I'm young, building my value as fast as I can, and so on. Yeah. Yeah. So one of the reasons it's so hard to turn around the birth rate is once boys have seen their fathers fucking disemboweled by the court systems, false allegations, threats, jail, threats of jail for, like, the only debtor's prison that exists is for, in many places, is for non-payment of alimony and child support. You can't go to jail for blowing your bills, except when women's needs and preferences are involved. In that case, fuck you, you go to jail, right? I mean, so what happens is you owe alimony, child support, you lose your job because someone's fucking with the rules or COVID or you don't want to get vaxxed or something like that, or both. And then you can't pay your bills. Your wife gets you charged, you get thrown, your ex-wife gets you thrown in jail. And or your dad thrown in jail. And then what, right? Then you're in jail. I'm no lawyer, but this is as far as I understand it, right? Your child support and spousal support obligations continue to pile up. Then you get out of jail. You have a much bigger bill than when you went into jail. And now you've got to try and get a job when you've just been in jail. And your life is done. Women can, like, well, disemboweling is the wrong word, because at least disemboweling, you're dead fairly quickly. Women can absolutely destroy men through the power of the state. Now, men can do it to women too, of course, right? We understand this, right? We're not saying it's one-sided, but it's a little bit more one-sided than the other. So once you've seen that, I mean, I remember sitting in a restaurant in the now vanished Don Mills Mall. My mother had a piece of paper and she was writing her wish list of everything that my dad was going to be forced to fund. It was a big list. It was a big list. So once you see that, like this mask off, like the naked shark face of cold-hearted women. Not all women, of course, lovely women out there, but like particularly the blame men, no responsibility, cold-hearted Pac-Man with a chainsaw eating up the balls kind of women. It's a little tough to trust and love now, isn't it? Like, I was reading a tweet this morning about some guy said to an elderly woman who lost her husband 10 years ago, "So what do you miss about him the most?" She said, "Well, he used to get up earlier than I did. And every morning he would make sure that the covers were up around my neck so I'd be warm when I woke up." I mean, that's tenderhearted, that's beautiful, that's lovely. My wife is exactly along those lines. She's so incredibly thoughtful. She's so incredibly thoughtful about my comfort, my happiness. It's honestly, it's really the most amazing and beautiful thing in the world. I try to do my best in reciprocation, but she just is so automatically thoughtful and considerate and caring. It's just amazing. So once the court system is embedded with this misandry, it makes the cost-benefit calculation of marriage. And even if it wasn't your father, you know someone whose father went through this, and you can't, right? It takes a long time for things to go wrong, and by the time they go wrong, it's almost impossible to have them go right again without a massive wrenching change. My wife and I are trying to conceive. Ah, good for you. Good for you. Good luck. Good luck. Divorce court scared me away from marriage for a long time. Yeah. Steph, I still don't understand why a woman would choose to leave a man when she has small children. Why would she choose to do that alone? I understand that this happens, but it makes no sense to me. So, divorce happens out of a failure to negotiate. What we have here is a failure to negotiate. It's a failure to negotiate. So, people who don't know how to negotiate only know how to escalate. If you don't know how to negotiate, all you have is escalation. Negotiation versus escalation. I feel like I'm about to wrap something. Maybe a Christmas present, because that's the closest I get to wrap as a Caucasian speckled egg. So, if you can't negotiate, all you can do is escalate. So, you want your way, you get incredibly angry, you get incredibly frustrated, and what happens is the man who's frightened of the woman's temper because you grew up with an aggressive mother, the woman escalates a bit, the man complies. The woman escalates more, the man complies more. The woman escalates more, the man complies more. And then eventually, she looks at him as a cringing coward, he looks at her as a demonic bitch, and they separate. Incremental compliance breeds escalating bullying. And a lot of times, a woman who escalates is looking for pushback because we outsource our self-restraint to some degree to other people, right? We are social animals, which means almost every aspect of our personalities is shared with others. I share my thinking with you, the audience, with other people in my life. I share my sense of self-protection. I share my self-esteem. You have to surrender your self-esteem to others in order to fall in love, because they have to be able to give you objective feedback because they can see you better than you can see yourself in many ways, right? So a woman who leaves a man oftentimes is escalating out of desperation because she doesn't know how to negotiate and she doesn't know how to back down. Because once you start to escalate, you can't back down. Like, you know, once you weaponize the justice system, you can't lose power, right? So, once you start to escalate, you can't back down. It's called calling your bluff, right? Right? Like, you start throwing tough words around with a guy in a bar, and then he calls you out, you end up out in the parking lot in some stupid fight because you don't know how to de-escalate. Knowing how to de-escalate is really, really important with yourself and with others. This is basic anger management, right? Knowing how to de-escalate. And the best way to de-escalate is not to escalate in the first place, right? I mean, the entire First World War, the truth about the First World War was because, I mean, the First World War was a family fight because almost all the leaders were related to each other. So it was a family fight where things escalated and people wanted to save face without backing down. And they couldn't back down. They couldn't de-escalate. So you end up with a war. I mean, I would argue Ukraine and Russia is the same kind of thing, right? A lot of war arises out of provocations that escalate because people don't know how to back down. Now, of course, it's easy to not back down if you're not the one personally paying the price, but you're just dragging other people out of their village huts to go and fight for you. Hit me with the why, because I'm just looking, no donations yet. We've been on 45 minutes, which is fine. I'm just, if the topic is not interesting to you, then let's move on to another topic. If none of this is donation worthy, which is fine. I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying that if none of this is donation worthy, then let's move on to other topics. Somebody says, the laws are not great. If I could snap my fingers and fix the laws, I think the birth rates would increase. Well, sure, but there is no snapping your fingers and change the law, because the law is money printing for lawyers, right? So once lawyers have adapted themselves to the law, they will resist any changes that diminish their billing hours, right? Do lawyers want the law to be simple as a whole? Well, of course not, because the simpler the law is, the less you need a lawyer. The more complicated the law becomes, the more you need a lawyer, which is why lawyers, a lot of them, will steadfastly resist any simplification of the legal code. Of course, right? Right. If you're if you're paying someone to translate, they don't want you to be able to learn the language yourself, right? Inflation is making 20 to 30 somethings feel like they can't afford a kid. Well, so, I mean, this is the problem too. So you grow up in the boomer household and there's lots of money because housing prices were lower and inflation wasn't quite as bad, except in the, what is it, 70s were pretty bad for inflation. But so you grew up in a boomer household and, you know, one of the things that was great for me was growing up poor. Like, I didn't like it at the time at all, but it was pretty good because everything after that is an improvement, right? And so if you grew up in a nice four-bedroom house on a half acre and you've got maybe a pool in the backyard, there are two cars, then you go out into the world, you're broke relative to that kind of lifestyle. So people feel broke even though they're the third or fourth wealthiest generation in the 13 billion year history of the universe, or 14 billion year history of the universe. They feel broke because they have less money relative to their parents. But of course, you don't want to compare yourself at the age of 25 to your parents at the age of 50 or 55, because 50, like 45 to 60 or 50 to 55, they're sort of peak earning years for people as a whole. So you don't want to sit there and say, well, I feel poor because I have a lot less than my parents. What you want to do is compare yourself at 25 to your parents at 25. So sit down and talk with them and say, what was your life like at 25? Like, I wouldn't want my daughter to think about my life now. I would want my daughter to think about my life at the age of 25, right? So that she'd feel well. So it's just it's an IQ test. Feeling broke when you grow up with a relatively middle-class family, feeling broke is just an IQ test, right? Because you have to compare yourself to your parents at your age, not your parents when they were older, right? So, couldn't her peers or social circle have potential for toxic influence in that regard, though? Yes, for sure. So women are, boys have some susceptibility to peer influence for sure, but women seem to have it slightly more. And so women who make bad decisions often want to recreate those bad decisions in others so they don't feel like they screwed up alone, whereas a lot of men will say, don't do what I did. So what happens is women, and you see this all over on social media, a lot of women will say, it's better out of a problematic relationship, especially with kids. And you see all these movies where, you know, the Stella got her groove back, and it's kind of an older one, right? The Bridget Jones Diary, where this, you know, tubby, well, she a single mom, this tubby single mom has two multimillionaires who are super handsome vying for her hand. I mean, it's all completely mad. But, and the thing is, though, that men know that this Marvel DC Universe Superman crap is just a fantasy. We know that. We know that war movies are just fantasies because you shoot at guys and you hit them every time, they shoot at you and miss every time. Like, that's not a real thing, right? The people who you're shooting at are probably about as skilled as you are, so it's pretty much 50-50 for the most part, right? So, you know, the guys running through the hail of gunfire and taking out the machine gun nest. And like, I mean, we know that that's nonsense. We know that that's luring us in to get killed. We know that that's a pathway to slaughter. It's the devil saying, oh, you'll be totally safe and you'll be a hero and people will worship you and you'll get medals and you'll get ticker tape parades, when all you get is mustard gas and a bomb on your shelter in the mud. And then rats eating your body. That's what you get. That's what you get. What you're offered is glory. What you get is splatter. But we know this stuff is fantasy, right? But women genuinely think that they leave their husbands and they move downtown and a really sensitive, beautiful guy with abs who sculpts clay with his bare hands and listens to an Unchained Melody by the Everly Brothers is just gonna introduce orgasms so plentiful, it's like the population of China. And it's going to be dreamy and beautiful and wonderful, and he's going to be a great guy, and he's going to want to take care of her and her kid, and it's just, she's going to slide into this absolute hot pocket of delight and chivalry, and this guy's going to be super hot and sexy, and he's going to have weird amounts of mystery money, and he's going to have abs without exercise, and he's just going to be fantastic. And a guy that dreamy and beautiful and wealthy and hot and sexy and perfect is out of all the women he could possibly get, he's going to choose the slightly tubby single mom who's traumatized from a bad marriage. That's just how it's going to be. It's straight up demonic. It's straight up demonic. Inviting you to paradise and then removing the drug that exposes you to hell, right? Come in here. It's beautiful. Oh, yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, I'll leave everything, right? I mean, there was a movie many years ago called The Unbearable Lightness of Being. Really was missing a word. It was The Unbearable Lightness of Being Naked. It was one of these Euro trash, sexy, sexy movies. And in it, this guy gets involved in this torrid affair with this woman. He leaves his wife and kids. He goes to the apartment so they can be together. And she's cleaned out and she's gone, right? Because she's a sadist. And what sadists do is they promise you paradise and then you give up the good and they deliver you to hell. Right? They promise you paradise. You give up the good. They deliver you to hell. That's what sadists like doing. They like getting you to betray your values with the promise of sense pleasure, right? And then you give up the good for the promise of sense pleasure. And then you get nothing. You're left with nothing. You know, they enjoy that. They love that. That gives them a diamond hard boner of eternity. They absolutely love disassembling your virtues based upon your greed for the material. And the material is the flesh too. They promise you a lot of sex. They promise you a lot of wealth. They promise you a lot of fame. They promise you a lot of prestige. They promise you a lot of prominence. And then they have to deliver it to some people, right? They have to deliver it to some people, otherwise the promises ring hollow. But they only deliver that one person in 100 to the fame and money in order to trick the 99 into giving up their virtues. And there's a great line in the movie Heretic, the new Hugh Grant movie, about propaganda, right? About propaganda. And she says, why do you keep doing this to us? And the propagandist says, why do you keep letting me? Why do you keep letting me lie to you and promise you all of these wonderful things? It's actually the first half of the movie is a great meditation on faith. It really is a great meditation on faith. Why do you keep letting me? Evil survives on demand. Evil is a pull economy. It's not a push economy. Evil is a pull economy. Like a con man relies on people being greedy for the unearned. That's what a con man relies on. If people get over their greed for the unearned, evil fades away. Of course, people will offer you lots of free stuff. Sure, absolutely. They'll offer you lots of free stuff. But you have to participate. Right, you have to invite the vampires in. The devil can't force you. The devil can only tempt you. You have to say yes. You have to step and follow. You have to bow and kneel. You have to abandon virtue for the sake of temporary pleasures. And then the pleasures fade away, turn to ash and nothing. And all that's left is the regret. And then the only way that you can ever feel good again is corrupting others in turn. And that's a very temporary goodness, right? The only way that you can ever feel good again after being corrupted is corrupting others in turn. And that's how it spreads, the virus. And the resistance to virus is saying no to the unearned at all times, under all circumstances, no matter what. Saying no to the unearned. So for me, if the price of staying on social media was lying, then I will not have earned my prominence through virtue. You follow, right? If for me, staying on social media required that I lie, then my prominence on social media would have been unearned because I would have lied about lying. I would have simply avoided topics without telling you I was avoiding topics, right? So that's why I said, I'm not doing politics anymore. I'm done with that. I wasn't lying to you about what I was no longer going to talk about. You got to look. And this is a tough question for everyone. What do you want that is unearned? What do you want that is unearned? That is what is going to get you. Do you want a hot girlfriend without earning it through some means or another, right? Do you want a good woman without having to earn a good woman by being good yourself? Do you want money without the years of 80 hours a week that it takes to get it, usually? What do you want that is unearned? Or what do you take value in now that you did not earn? Are you tall? Are you good looking? Did you inherit money? Do you have just a fierce wit that you were kind of born with? Do you take pride in the unearned? That is what will be used to disassemble you. The only pride is virtue. Everything else is corruption. The only pride is virtue. Everything else is corruption. Somebody says, oh, Anne says, hello, Anne. Are you okay? There is a growing trend of single by choice, women getting sperm donors and raising their child solo. My neighbor's son has no father and his grandfather lives on the other side of the world. My husband is the only male role model in his life. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. That makes sense. I've split up before because my partner agreed to everything I said and I felt like I was in a relationship with myself. Yes. Compliance is one of the biggest. Thank you, Fiona. Compliance is one of the biggest sabotages in the known universe. Thank you, David. If you really want to destroy someone, comply with them. Content is very interesting. Thank you. Yeah, the best place, freedomain.com/donate, is the best place. I made more at this age than my dad at his age, and he already had 3 kids. Yeah, for sure. My parents for sure had it easier than me, not to mention my grandparents. Everything was cheaper and jobs paid more. Sure. And you can compare the strengths of their economy to the weaknesses in your economy, or you can compare the strengths in your economy to the weaknesses of their economy. If you can work from home, you've made a fortune. If you can work from home, you've made a fortune. You don't need the car. You don't need the insurance. You don't need the repairs. You don't need the gas. You don't need the oil. You don't need the clothes, right? You don't lose all that time in traffic. You don't have the risk of traffic accidents. If you can work from home, you're already better off than your parents were in just about every metric known to man. Plus, you can spend time at home. You can have lunch with your wife. If she can work from home, you can have lunch with your kids. If they're home, you can work from home. Can you work on the internet, right? Can you work on the internet? If you can work on the internet, you are way better off than you were in the past. Did you get access to being an expert in AI? Your parents didn't have that. So there's so many opportunities now that didn't exist for your parents, which is way, way better. I've always thought it was weird to feel poor when we have little rectangles in our pocket with almost infinite knowledge. Yeah, that's a very good way to put it. That's an interesting way to look at it. My parents had kids when they were my age with a house. However, they were also massively in debt. Took them like 15 to 20 years to get out of that debt, right? Started watching the World War I movie, All Quiet on the Western Front. Absolutely brutal. Right. Well, of course, a lot of war movies that are aimed at the West are programming men not to fight, right? Like in the 80s, there was 2 movies. One was called Threads. The other was called The Day After, about nuclear war. It turns out, at least one of them that I know of, was funded by the Soviets in order to, like the communists in Russia, was funded in order to break the will of the West to fight. Right? Mom and dad broke up because mom wanted to open the marriage. Right. I'm sorry about that. It sounds like you're saying most women don't have a decent grasp on reality and are delusional. I've considered that, but always thought it was a bit arrogant of me to assume that. I've always assumed there must be something obvious I'm missing. Surely I can't be this different. No, I'm not saying that women are more susceptible to delusions as a whole. Men and women both have their delusions. Men are deluded by status. And women are deluded by vanity. Men are deluded by status. Women are deluded by vanity. And we both have our weaknesses, right? Yeah, he told them the walls had metal, so they won't be able to call out. They knew the pie smell was... Once they knew the pie smell was from a candle, it was like... So, in the movie Heretic, he says, oh, my wife's baking a blueberry pie, but they can smell the blueberry pie. And then it turns out he's got a candle with blueberry that they can see, right? And they don't make a run for it, right? So this is the problem of being polite, right? Well, we don't want to be too upsetting. We want to be polite. We want to be nice, right? Wanting to be nice is one of the greatest dangers in the world. I'm not kidding about this. Wanting to be nice is playing Russian roulette with evil people. Sooner or later, you're going to get a chamber to the head. Yeah, so they assume that the pie existed because they can smell it, in the same way that they assume God exists because they have faith, right? I do really, of course, dislike the fact that people only bag on Mormons, right? Like, women are all kinds of tough with white males, right? Because they know that we're pretty chivalrous and all of that, but they're not tough with other ethnicities and cultures and religions, right? Thank you. I appreciate the tip. Our parents' generation couldn't invest in Bitcoin or alts. Even the stock market was way harder to invest in back then. Yes, very true. Thank you for the tip. Are cults successful because they offer unearned community and love? Then when you're inside, they do the switcheroo. Yeah. So everybody feels special and you want others to agree. Now, if other people just walk up to you and say how special you are, how wonderful you are, what a hidden gift you are, how many talents you have, right? Then they're just gearing up to steal from you. Because you want the unearned, right? You want a community based upon some innate nature rather than gaining a community by providing value to the world. Right? So in my book, Art of the Argument, The Art of the Argument, artoftheargument.com, you really should get it. I do talk about a woman who does not save for her old age, but instead does wonderful things for 40 years in a community, right? She organizes help for the poor. She delivers food to the unwell. She's kids are always welcome at her house. She takes care of people and all of that. And she does that instead of saving a lot of money for her old age, but she's built up a lot of social capital. So when she gets old, people will take care of her, right? I mean, I don't charge for this stuff. So I'm generous and in return, with some occasional reminders, of course, but I'm generous and in return, you guys help me out, right? So that's nice. So provide value, and then you can ask for value. People who want the unearned, government workers in general, want the unearned. People who go on strike and then attack strikebreakers want the unearned, right? People who want welfare want the unearned. They want to be taken care of without having to provide value back to their community, right? So it's not so much that communities have disintegrated, it's that you don't need your community anymore. So once you give welfare to people, then they don't need their community. Once they're atomized, the community can be broken up, right? So. Between wives and farmers, 80% of the U.S. worked from home until the 1960s. Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. It's a very good way to put it. I don't have any argument with that. Some religious people are against gambling because they consider it unearned money. But how is that different from investing / trading the financial market? Aren't they all games of chance, basically? No. I don't like gambling as a whole because gambling is win-lose, right? Thank you, Chris. Gambling is win-lose. So when you invest in the stock market, in general, right? This is not for, of course, sorry. I'm not going to say you guys are too smart for the usual caveats, right? So when you invest in the stock market, you're handing over money to people who are going to use it to hire people and build services and products that make people's lives better and so on, right? So it's win-win, right? You give them money, they grow the economy, they make things better and more efficient, they make people happier, and then they give you some of the profits back in terms of either dividends or the rise in the stock price, which you can use when you sell it, right? You get that when you sell it, right? So in the stock market as a whole, it's an investment in the increase of capital. When you are gambling, though, you are winning and the other person is losing, and both of you, like the net is less because the house takes its cut, right? I mean, unless you're just gambling straight across the table with someone in some private fashion, right? So, gambling is not a very honorable way to make a living. It teaches you win-lose. And the other issue, particularly with face-to-face gambling, is it tends to strip mine and exploit prior trauma. So when you grow up, particularly with violent parents, but even verbally abusive parents, when you grow up with violent parents, aggressive parents, you have to learn to read them really closely while giving nothing away emotionally from yourself, right? You have to have that prison mask, right? You don't respond, you control your responses, you minimize your responses, because once they're in your brains, they tend to hurt you, so you shield yourself from sadistic or abusive people who have power over you, right? So you learn to read other people really well while masking your own emotions. So if you're across the table playing poker, you got to read the other guy while masking your own emotions. So you're exploiting prior trauma, which is not great. I was talking about typing up my resumes with my dad. He had to use a typewriter. I can use Microsoft Word and ChatGPT to check my work, right? Right. But of course, the form of the resume was part of your resume, right? So when I learned how to type on a manual typewriter, not even electric, you get these Arnold Schwarzenegger pinky muscles from having to hit those L keys. And to center a title, right, you had 40 characters, right? So you'd count up the title, you'd subtract half, you'd go half in, you'd start, like you go that part in, you'd start typing so it was centered. You couldn't just control E that, right? It's amazing. I mean, when I first got a hold of I was on a PET 2K computer when I first got hold of a word processor, and I was like, oh my God, this is going to change everything. And then I had an Atari 800. I had ZOAC4. I had a word processor there where I wrote a bunch of stuff, and then I had an Atari ST, which had a great word processor. And then I finally bought a 286 with a 40 meg hard drive and used WordPerfect 5.1. Reveal codes was hieroglyphics of the gods. And it was just amazing. It's amazing. And now, of course, and I got into this way back in the day, voice dictation. I got into voice dictation when you had to pause between each word. And I was like, oh my God, it's incredible. Now I've got a very well-trained voice dictation system from Dragon Naturally Speaking, which is a great company, a great product. They don't pay me anything for saying that, but I'm just telling you it is. And if you're not doing voice dictation, I don't know what you're doing with your life. All right. Yeah, so if you're playing poker, let's say you're playing in a poker tournament, well, you win $1,000, the other guy loses, and the house takes its cut, right? So it's a net negative, right? Somebody says, most of the shares in the economy are fake. 83% of all shares in the U.S. economy are owned by seed and company. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. I don't know what seed and company is. Is that BlackRock? I don't know. Oh, sounds so frustrating. Oh, yeah. If you make one mistake on the typewriter, right? If you make one mistake on the typewriter, there were typewriters that had whiteout built in with ribbons, and then you had to paint it whiteout and then type over, wait for it to dry, blow it over, and all of that. So your resume, if it was a genuine typed resume, well, you would never do an original because you'd photocopy them and so on, right? But a typed error-free resume in the age of manual or even electric typewriters was an incredible thing because it meant that you could really calculate and plan and figure things out. It was something. Is ignoring people who are threatening or intimidating considered nice or prudent? What I mean is will a threatening person get a high if you don't call them out because this seems lose-win? If you correct the person, you face potential physical violence. If you ignore his rudeness, you can camouflage yourself. Just don't be in situations where that happens, right? Just leave those situations. My dad worked on one of the early computers. It took up a whole room and he had to change the valves, yeah? Yeah. I remember taking a computer course in junior high. We had to fill out cards. You would fill out cards in assembler and then they would run the cards through the machine and it would say whether it worked or not. Not very helpful. I remember my teacher had sleeves so folded, I'm sure he ironed them, you know, like he would fold up his sleeves and they were so perfect. Right. Ah, thank you. Seed technically owns most of the publicly issued stock in the United States. Thus, most investors do not themselves hold direct property rights in stock, but rather have contractual rights that they are part of a chain of contractual rights involving Seed. Securities held at Depository Trust Company are registered in its nominee name, Seed & Co., and recorded on its books in the name of the brokerage firm through which they were purchased. On the brokerage firm's books, they are assigned to the accounts of their beneficial owners. Seed owns all of the issued stock in the United States. The other 17% of all issued stocks is owned by directly registered holders through the direct registration system. Yeah, I don't think none of that's really true. Yeah, none of that's really true. Yeah. Because you have the right to the shot. Like they're just holding it for you. Like an online place where you put some crypto, they are holding the crypto for you, but it's your crypto, right? Most people, when they buy stocks, they don't want actual stock certificates mailed to their house, right? They just want to have the stock in their portfolio. So you need a mechanism by which that happens. So yeah, Seed doesn't own it. It holds it for you, right? It holds it for you. Right. If you hand your drink to your friend because you want to go talk to some woman at a bar, he doesn't own that drink now. He's just holding it for you. So, you know, that seems like misinformation to me. So I think you're wrong. And you should be more skeptical of these kinds of things. The idea that only 17% of stocks is owned by people and that, so this is say technically owns most of the publicly issued stocks. Yeah, for sure. When you buy 500 shares in IBM, you don't get a stock certificate mailed directly to your house. Somebody holds it for you. But that doesn't mean that you don't own it because you have the legal right to buy and sell it, which means that you own it, right? In the same way, if you have your crypto on an exchange, you can buy and sell it. They can't buy and sell it for you. You can buy and sell it. They'll execute that for you because it's easier and more convenient than having the highly difficult and dangerous risk of meeting people who might have knives in a parking lot. It's happened to two people I know where they got chased through a parking lot trying to sell or buy crypto in person. So yeah, it's not right. And try not to spread that kind of stuff as a whole. Like, be skeptical and don't spread stuff that isn't true. All right. Haven't seen you since the YouTube purge. Good to see you back. Well, that's a little narcissistic, if you don't mind me saying so. I'm not back. You're back. It's like I close my eyes for 5 seconds and I open them and I say, wow, I'm sorry I had to dematerialize you for 5 seconds. I'm very glad that you've rematerialized now. It's like, no. You were gone. You're back. I've always been here doing my thing. So just a little nitpicky thing. All right. Sorry, I'm just catching up on the... I've heard the futures markets described as zero sum. Every winning trade has a loser on the opposite side of the trade. Isn't that win-lose? Well, I would assume not, because let's say you're talking about, what are they, pork bellies futures or soybean futures or something like that. So you are, I wouldn't say placing a bet or making a gamble, But you are saying that you are making money on your predictions of future productivity. So if you think that there's going to be a bunch of soybeans, then some of that money is going to flow through and help with the production of soybeans, right? So futures are guessing, it's doing research and trying to figure out the future productivity of things, which is actually helpful for those things, right? So it's not, and you end up with, you're guessing basically the future prices of things, because if there's an excess of pork bellies, then the price is going to go down. So you are making hopefully an educated or informed decision on the future prices of things, which is a great market signal. It's a great market signal. So if you are a pork belly producer and everyone is saying that the price of pork bellies is going down, then you might produce fewer of them. So it's a way of calibrating how things get produced. Whereas if you're a pork belly producer and everyone's betting that the price of pork bellies is going to go up, that's going to give you a sign that you should produce more pork bellies. So it's a finely calibrated way to ensure that the production of things matches anticipated future demand. And the amazing thing about the market is it provides you all this information for free. So the pork belly producers just watches pork belly, sorry, the pork belly producer watches pork belly prices, and he can figure out whether he should produce more or fewer pork bellies based upon the futures market. He gets that information, which is an immense amount of research and prediction and estimation and all of that. He gets all of that for free just by looking at the futures prices. So no, it is an incredibly productive way to make sure that production matches anticipated demand. So there was something you said a while back about how it hurts to reason when you've been abused. That really struck a chord with me. Yeah. It's very painful to reason when you've been abused, because you realize how reasonable you were, how much fun it would have been to reason with your parents instead of being abused and so on, right? When futures contracts are used as insurance, even the losers gain from risk reduction. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And so it's called hedging, right? So it is a way of minimizing risk as well, right? Bitcoin is win-lose. Win freedom, lose Federal Reserve, entrenched fat cats. Yes, that's true. I'll provide more proof on this later. I appreciate your skepticism. Oh, regarding Seed. Yeah, Seed technically owns, it's like, no, it doesn't own. It holds for you, right? It holds it for you, right? It holds it for you. If you reserve a car at a rental place, you don't own the car. They're just holding it for you. So, and we do that because it is easier to buy and sell through an intermediary than it is to do it all yourself, right? If you have 500 shares of IBM, right, and you actually have the stock certificate, then somebody's got to believe that you have the stock certificate. You got to mail it to them. Are they going to pay you? It's really risky and complicated. Whereas if you have it centralized, it's much more efficient to buy and sell. So it's not a ripoff. It's not weird. It's just the most efficient way to do things. All right. Any other last questions, comments, challenge, issues, problems? Not my happiest number to look at today. I'll be straight up with you. You know, honesty and directness. I do put work into these shows. It's not just top of the head yapping, right? I do try and figure out some topics. freedomain.com/donate. If you're listening to this later, I would very, very much appreciate that. And let's just see if we have any other last tips. Thank you, Deus Ex and John John. Content is very interesting. Thank you. I appreciate that. It was more because my mother abused and humiliated me with her superior reasoning skills. Adults can do that to children. I have personally found children to be extraordinarily rational. Extremely rational. It's not superior reasoning skills. Superior reasoning skills instruct you, right? If somebody disproves something that I say, it instructs you. So if it turns out that, I mean, I know that I'm right regarding this 87% of stocks are owned by one company, and the reason you've never heard of that company is they're simply providing a business to consumer and business to business service, so you don't really hear of them because they don't really matter in the transaction. They're just a convenient bookmark for you to buy and sell things. So if I'm reasoning with this person about this company that holds stocks to facilitate trading, holds them for people without the legal right to buy and sell them themselves, they're just, it's just a holding pattern, right? It's just like if you put stuff in a storage locker, the storage company doesn't own it. They're just holding it for you, right? So if you say that the value of a storage company is the goods that are stored there, that would be an incorrect valuation because they don't own the goods that are stored there, right? So that's sort of like this company. So let's say that this guy's wrong and I'm right about this. He's learned something helpful and useful and he won't say things that aren't really true anymore, right? Because I was kind of surprised, like there was some company owns everything that I've never heard of. I was like, well, that makes sense, right? So have I decimated him? No, it's win-win, right? Because he now is no longer going to say things that are misleading. So that's a positive, right? So he's not going to say things that are wrong and misleading. So that's a plus, right? And you've heard something interesting. So the net, it's a net positive for everyone, except maybe his vanity or maybe his sense that he feels bad for promoting things that aren't true, which I'm sure he's done in other situations with this information or others. So how is that a loss? Superior reasoning skills, like thinking this out. How could it possibly, and I taught him also, how can it be possibly true that only 17% of stocks are owned by people and the rest is owned by some giant corporation, right? That it's just teaching skepticism. Like that can't be true, but especially if it's a corporation nobody's heard of, right? So how can, so it's just teaching skepticism and all of that, right? And I've had to have that taught to me a bunch of times, right? So sometimes you'll see something that seems kind of outlandish, like, well, that's wild. It's wild if it's true, but it's, you know, and then there's a community notes which says this is not true and so on, right? So learning skepticism is very important. We'll donate after the stream. Thank you. Great show today. Appreciate that. Steph says, this lady, my husband seems to have difficulty negotiating and tends to get very upset if I suggest something he doesn't agree with. He's also agreed to things and then resented them at a later date. I found staying calm really helps, but I'm not really sure what else to do. freedomain.com/call. freedomain.com/call. We'll do a call-in. We'll do a call-in. Don't take it personally. Don't take it personally. If I dated some woman who grew up in Japan and spoke fluent Japanese, I wouldn't take it personally or having anything to do with me that she spoke Japanese. Let's say she occasionally forgot herself and spoke to me in Japanese, I wouldn't take it personally. She just grew up speaking Japanese, right? So don't take it personally if your husband lacks negotiating skills, right? Negotiation is a language, and we learn that language by being reasoned with as children. Negotiation is a skill set. It's a language. We see our parents negotiating with each other. We see our parents, we experience our parents negotiating with us. You see parents negotiating with friends, and so you learn that language. So he was not only not taught that language as a child, he was not only not taught that language, but also he was punished for trying to reason, right? So if people are bullies and you try to reason with them, they'll fuck you up. They'll attack you, right? By the way, Bitcoin's probably going to stay here for a while because they need to even it out after a big rise so they can stay within the margin of risk of a lot of their investors. In my humble opinion, no prediction. I don't know what that means, but it's just a general thought. So don't take it personally. Your movie reviews are great. What do you think about doing such of classical horror movies? Send some suggestions. You can send them to host@freedomain.com. Host@freedomain.com. So yeah, don't take it personally. He just was bullied as a child for trying to reason, and he was punished for reasoning, and he was bullied. So all he knows is compliance. And the other thing that's true as well is don't blame him for what you chose him for. Are you telling me that you didn't know that he had difficulty negotiating when you dated him, when you got engaged to him, before you got married? You chose him because he was compliant. And now you're annoyed that he's compliant. I mean, you get that it's kind of funny, right?
It's like choosing a woman because she's curvy. And then, even though she hasn't gained any weight, calling her fat. It's like, you chose her for that, right? You chose her for that. So. All right. Well, I really appreciate everyone's time today. If you're listening later, of course, I was a bit lean today. A little lean. I was hoping for a slightly better after the election, but it's a little lean. I guess we have to wait for the better economy to kick in. That's fine. freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. I'd really appreciate that. At the end of the month, I will send out a free copy of my 12-hour-plus analysis of the French Revolution, and you'll get that at the end of the month. I'll just put everyone together and send it out then, so all donations will get that. Don't forget to go to fdrurl.com/locals, fdrurl.com/locals, to help out the show. You can subscribe, and you get hundreds of podcasts, and you get access to private AIs, you get live streams from time to time, all kinds of great stuff for subscribers. So I hope that you will join that. You can, of course, also go to subscribestar.com/freedomain. Lots of love, everyone. Take care. Bye.